Hey y'all. Welcome to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. If you've ever wondered how relationships are approached from another perspective, this is your relationship roadmap. Today, we're on part two of Just Friends, and our tour guides are Justin, Eva, Aaron, Nicole, Mara, and Casey. Thanks for hanging out for another episode, y'all. We're so excited. We're all newbies. The ground rules are as follows. There are no right or wrong answers. Debate is welcome. Keep it clean, keep it real, but most importantly, have fun as we always do. Clink on that. I'm gonna leave it right there. Use your imagination. And let's pick it back up. So in part one of Just Friends, and mind you, I introduced it as Just Friends with air quotes before, because we talked about how, you know, there is this thing that can be a platonic between a male and a female, but oftentimes it evolves into something else, or maybe it doesn't. But what we were looking at the conditions under which things either evolve or not. And we were starting to talk a little bit about what that looks like when there is a partner involved with one of those parties. So say, for example, Eva is partnered with someone and she has a best friend who's a guy. And, you know, we were talking about a little bit boundaries. Eva, you want to pick that back up, what your question was?
Yeah, my question was basically if you're, you know, whether you're single or if you're in a relationship and the person that you have a friendship with, if at some point those boundaries are crossed. And I think initially I mentioned something about, you know, you may go out hanging out one night, you guys are drinking or whatever, have a little bit too much to drink and something happens, you guys cross that line. One party may, you know, recognize it as a mistake. The other party may recognize it as, why did it take you so long? Mm-hmm. And so now you've got that unbalanced area there, which makes it very awkward for both parties, because you may have one that really truly looked at it as a mistake. And then the other one was like, well, this is what I've been waiting on the whole time that we've been friends. So how do you handle that? And again, I know the topic is, you know, can a man and a woman be strictly platonic and have a friendship? That is the case. Yes, they can. But to what extent, or at what point does it become a burden? Because over time, emotions and feelings develop dependent upon how much time you're spending with that person, how much information you're confiding in that person. You know, women, we are creatures of emotion.
Well, and then I think Laura described earlier in the first episode, like over time, it's like, you grew cuter, right?
Right. So I may not have been attracted to you.
So, you know, like there is that, in using the word entanglement again, but you start to, something builds on that relationship.
Right.
And that might be a natural reaction to what your friendship is, right?
Right.
So how do you deal with that? Aaron, you got something to say?
I mean, you know, bottom line is, and I'm speaking from married couple, 20 years in the game, you know, out here in these cul-de-sacs. But, you know, bottom line is, when you're with someone, whether it be a boyfriend, girlfriend, a husband, or you're single, there's all kind of people that might very well be suitable to you. And the person that you're with, yes, this is a person you're with, but there may very well be another person that's suitable to your partner just the same. But it's a matter of, do you choose to go seek them, okay? And do you choose to seek that in the fashion of, I think our relationship is not progressing, or I want to leave? And then you go ahead and make yourself available. Or it could be that that person is very interesting to you, and you share that with your partner or your wife or spouse or whoever, and you're just being honest. Well, I think I have some feelings about this person. And then you sit down and talk about that. What does that mean? Because it might mean that, hey, maybe we go separate ways, or maybe you're just bored and this person got some pizzazz and it's just for the moment. Because just because it's for the moment doesn't mean it's for a lifetime.
So you gotta
have a conversation and see what's up. and go from there. And it's going to be between the couple or that single triage, whatever we want.
See, we weren't supposed to be talking about a trio.
You know,
that's
out,
why
hey,
Aaron froze. As soon as he started talking about it, it froze.
Yeah.
Nicole, did you want to add? Oh, sorry. You're unfrozen. You're good. But the Lord didn't want you to talk about the threesome. Okay, go ahead, Nicole.
That's another topic. We'll talk about
that
next
time. Another night, Aaron. That's another night. The three. Nicole, did you have something that you were getting ready to say?
No.
Okay. All good. But that's a good. So that's something that we should unpack. I think spend a little time talking about Eva, though, is that moment where there is this bit of a transition. So sometimes there's this conscious transition. I'd like to think more people than not will make the conscious decision. Hey, I'm starting to feel something because, you know, and they start making out. Lord Jesus, get a room. Get a room. Okay. So I'm starting to feel something because, you know, we have this intimate connection. It might be intellectual, emotional. I have a good time with you. I feel some kind of way about you. And that might be a conversation. Or it could be alcohol driven. I got some liquid courage. I touched you. You didn't resist. Okay.
I touched you. You didn't resist.
You didn't resist. So we did what we did. But there may, what about that moment where, and this might have been what we started to say before, if it's not necessarily the mutual decision, I feel you too, or I also want to do something more here. What if that's not the case? Then what? You know, the move is out there now, whether it was, you know, conscious or not, it's out there now. So now what happens?
I think sometimes that it depends on where those individuals are. For some, they may both talk about it and recognize that, okay, it was the heat of the moment. You know, that's not where we were in our relationship, but it happened. And if there's truly not an overwhelming interest from one or both to pursue that previous night's activities, then you may be able to find yourself back in the friend zone or the friendship with that person. Sometimes, depending on, you know, the situation, somebody may walk away because they couldn't either handle what happened, didn't know how to discuss it. There could have been something else going on with that individual.
Oh, we lost
Eva
and Justin for a second. They'll probably jump back in once they reconnect. But in the meantime, anybody? Oh, there he is.
Yeah, there you go.
Justin. Somebody tried to call. Okay.
Okay, got you.
Yeah. So some. Yeah.
I hope it wasn't your friend.
Say it again.
You said what?
I hope it wasn't your friend. I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to start. Keep getting so interesting. Okay. But anyway, you were saying somebody might walk away because they couldn't handle. That was the last thing.
Right. What happened? Yeah. So but you have to talk about it, you know, and kind of see where you are, and, you know, determine, okay, is this something we need to pursue? Is this something we need to, you know, just put behind us as a one-time thing? You know, you just got to talk about it. You got to talk about it.
I think that's kind of hard because it goes back to what we were saying earlier. First of all, you got to be honest with yourself before you can be honest with other people. And if it's an honest friendship, then it should never, in my opinion, you should never put your friend in a position you wouldn't want them to put you in, number one. Number two, if it's truly a friendship, like you all are saying, it's just like, I have friends that I consider them just like my family, like my sister. I can't see myself getting drunk and making out with my sister.
Well, sometimes people use their sister and brother a little too loosely.
Every Memphian got a sister and a brother.
And half of them is code for we used to.
They got a sister.
But what I mean by that.
We hooked up one time.
What I mean by that is, if I'm looking at this person strictly as a friend, and in that capacity, then although I care about them, it's just like I care about my family, like I care about my sisters, like I care about my mother. But I would never look at them in a certain way, because once again, if it's a true friendship, then there's emotions, for friends. There's emotions for someone you want to pursue a relationship with.
But that's you.
Everything is a choice. Everything is a choice.
And my question
is, what's to say that the other individual does not have this? Okay, so I understand. I hear what you're saying, Casey. And you are there. But what if the person that you are friends with, they're not there? And they're trying to deal with it because they do value the friendship, and they probably are feeling like how many platonic friendships do you have out there between a man and a female? Whereas that person will say, I don't want to cross that line because I'm afraid it may mess up the friendship.
Psychologists talked about this all over the internet when I was reading.
And so they don't act on it, but it's still there. It's an underlying fueling source. And so even though they don't act on it, it spills over into the friendship some type of way. And at some given point, and it may just be that door where, say, for instance, you have you and Robin for about a week or so, y'all ain't on the same page. You frustrated. She ain't listening, or you got something going on or whatever. And at that point, that's an opportunity. It's a doorway. That little crack now has become a doorway for that person who has been your friend, but has that underlying situation. I'm looking at y'all, Aaron and Nicole. I see all of them smiles over there. It becomes a doorway for that person to enter in because they see that's an opportunity. And you're vulnerable because your guard is down. You know what I'm saying? I need y'all to elaborate on that, because y'all were smiling real hard right there.
And Nicole, I see smiles. Like you have something.
That a week wasn't talking to get along for a week. I'm like, just a week.
You got some people, if it's off a week, it's like the world has ended.
Yeah, you had a 30-day detox, okay? So,
we're digressing.
We're on a break. So, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin, and we're talking about just being just friends. We're talking to Laura, Aaron, Nicole, Justin, Eva, and Casey. And I want to refer back to something that came up a little earlier, and about how influential is it the way that you met your friend. So we talked about this, the scenario where, like, I've known you since I was 5. You legit, I never thought of you that way. You're a tomboy and we played football together, whatever. Or I just met you 2 weeks ago at this function. Could have been like a conference or something. And we hit it off. And you got a good spirit, aura, whatever. And we're friends. Now, is there a difference between the two types of meeting? Laura, do you have a thought about that?
It's a good question. I was trying to visualize it. I don't know. I think I still think it goes back to, where are you in your life? You know, are you interested in dating, or, you know, because obviously dating evolves at some point. So hopefully you start out as friends, but I think it just depends on what you're ready for and kind of getting to know the person. I think sometimes the knowing someone for a long time could be a little covert. You never know if people or maybe they told you in high school, you kissed once like in high school and then you never talked about it again, and you've been hanging out and just being friends, and you've met each other's boyfriends, girlfriends, and you know what I mean? I've heard of those scenarios. And so, you know, it's a hard question for me to answer, but I think it would be I think both could be challenging because the new person, you know, once you get to know them or as you start talking, as one of the couples talked about, the more maybe you have certain interests and you start talking more on the phone or find out that neither one of you are dating. So then it can become awkward, right? Because you're like thinking, well, maybe this could be someone. So I don't know if I answered the question, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's your position on it.
Yeah.
I have a question for Laura. Yeah. I have a question. So actually, I may have two. So my first question is this.
Yeah.
Do you have a male friend that you feel fits that role? Like, were you just really cool with?
I don't have one currently, but I have had those friends. And a couple of them, I didn't think of them as, I wasn't interested in them. Like mm-hmm. I was just, you know, we were friends and settings. And then just maybe a year or two later, you know, they started sending messages and I was thinking, oh, wow, this is different. And I don't know what changed, you know, so
they had a different perspective of the friendship. You were interested solely in a friendship, but they were more interested.
I think we were at the same place the whole time. That was what I experienced. And then it just, one day they just sent a really strange message. And that's when I was like, oh, because, you know, everything, before was, you know, it was just very platonic and fun and listening mm-hmm. to who they're dating. And, you know, so I was clear that we were just good friends, but. You know, and then like I said, other times later, I was like, oh, like the goatee is a real story. I was like,
it's a game
I remember it. Huh?
It's a game changer.
How did you handle that? You know, when once you, that weirdness set in, how did you handle it?
I think I started liking. I mean, I just saw them totally different. I mean, I wasn't attracted to them before. And then I think there was time apart, maybe, you know, we hadn't seen each other. And then when I did, I was like, oh, wow. And then it just kind of, I think just those natural emotions. And then we kind of just started talking about dating and things like that. But we had that foundation of friendship. And it was funny because I remember them talking about, like, years later, we weren't friends anymore and weren't dating anymore. And it was like, no, I grew that goatee for you. And I was like, shut up. All those years you always talked about, I love a goatee. You didn't even catch it. I'm mad because you never. And I was just like, man, men keep secrets. I didn't know that. So and that's my funny story. But yeah, it was just, I think just being excited and kind of knowing the person. And then it was a little awkward because we had to get through, wow, we've been friends and now we're going to go to this next stage.
Did you guys ever cross the line? I mean, if it's a little too personal, let me know. Did you cross the line? And if so, how did that make it even more awkward? Or
yeah, no, we crossed the line. We crossed the line.
Blame your neighbor.
It's true.
Blame your neighbor.
I jumped all over the line.
Jumped all over that goatee. You know,
it was the goatee's fault.
Aaron.
Oh no, dang it.
What do you have? What do you have to say about it, Aaron?
Things progress. And it sounded like he was kind of fishing to see where you were at because he didn't want to deal with rejection or whatever comes with that, other insecurities that might come with that. That's all that is. But it evolved. We had the experience, and it still wasn't necessarily, I mean, it was mutual to experience it, but the feelings weren't equally yoked. And so therefore, you may have gone separate ways, or you're still friends, or it's just, you know, you're more associates than you are the tighter friendship that you had. And that's just what it is. And that's just the risk that, again, that's the sacrifice, the risk that you take when you're just being honest. You're just telling the truth. I mean, the truth will set you free, or the truth will set you into a,
or the truth can crush your dreams.
I mean, I think that's just That's just resilience of being a person, a human being. And as Nicole mentioned, there's a fine line between the person being mature and their character. And clearly there was character on both sides, but just the feelings weren't necessarily mutual, you know, and you have the maturity to recognize it. In that case, you have both elements. You have maturity to recognize it and you're treating it accordingly. I mean, that's on the outside looking in.
Just out of curiosity, Aaron and Nicole, did you guys start out as friends or was it straight date?
It was more, I mean, we met each other at a club. I mean, you know, come on, you know what's on the agenda at the club.
But that's my point right there. It's like, there are friendships that you have based on circumstance, right? You know, you work together, or you went to school together, or you're neighbors, or whatever. So you're interacting on that level. And then there's the meeting that happens because there's some type of something drew me to you to talk to you. You know, it's usually some type of attraction, whether it's like, I all out want to jump your bones, or, hey, I'm going to go tell this guy, you know, like, your outfit's really nice. Something about that person attracted you to have that conversation. So you're already at a different starting point when you're developing whatever relationship you're about to develop. Maybe it can be platonic, but it sparked, the catalyst is the attraction. So that's a little different scenario, right?
Yeah, that is. I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, I met Nicole at the club. I saw her. Like, okay, she looked good. Let me holler at her real quick. Maxwell was on. No, I didn't have no alcohol. I had Maxwell, so I was like, yeah, okay, this is gonna happen in a year. Okay,
That'll do it. Plinkism.
Maxwell gets it done. Everybody agrees.
She knew people that I went to school with. And so one of her friends came over, yeah, that's Nicole with Willis. Yeah, she's real cool. Now, I didn't ask her for the number because it was a platonic moment. You see what I'm saying?
No, they didn't ask for all this.
But I mean, the bottom line is we exchanged numbers and we continued to progress as much as we bumped heads, as much as we progressed, as much as we bumped heads. And it was just genuine and been straight up and transparent the whole time. Again, it's a choice to be with each other. There's all kind of people who are suitable to Nicole, all kind of people that are suitable to me, and we still choose each other. So
that's deep right there. I'm writing it down.
Yeah. That is, man, I love it.
Your point's really key, Robin, is how you meet and interaction, I think, sets the tone, right? And so it wasn't a platonic situation where we were like, you know, working together and develop a friendship. It was, we were in a club. Mm-hmm. At Maxie's.
We were strangers.
And CTAC. You know what I'm saying? So we're at a club and that was.
We were definitely a bad group.
Saw each other and exchange numbers. So it was a.
it was my Mac game.
But it was just a different start to the relationship.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah.
But I think that goes back to there's different levels of friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's one thing if we're saying, like, you all develop a friendship meanwhile you were pursuing dating. And at the same time, you have people that they claim they are friends. They've been friends for years and situations happen. And I think that's what I was saying. Sometimes people, they hide up under the mask of friend, but they're not really a friend. They're just an opportunist waiting for the opportunity to, you know, kind of, you know, put the moves on. You know, they've talked about, you know, they're gonna listen to your problems. They're gonna be there, you know, when you need them to. And, you know, hey, let's go out and they put themselves in the position. So that when the opportunity presents itself, they are right there. To me, that's not a real friend. That's someone that is just waiting on an opportunity. A real friend would be the one to say, you know, you need to go home and sleep that off. You know, come on.
Yeah, I call those friends with potential.
Oh, I like both.
Cross your fingers and hope to love. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like.
Okay, so we just have another minute or so left. If there is any closing thought on this, if people can still hang out, we can talk some more. I know some people have to go, but anybody want to wrap up a thought that might be lingering here?
This was an interesting.
I don't have a thought, but I have a statement.
Oh, hold on, Nicole.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nicole. I was going to say, this one was an interesting subject for me because, I mean, again, we've been together for so long and all of my best friends are girlfriends. I don't have any best male friends. And he doesn't have any best male friends. He has more female friends than I've ever had male friends. I'm okay with that. We've been together for so long that there has to be trust and comfort in that. And I have that, but I've never started out a relationship as a platonic. There was always that, you know, meeting at a club or somewhere or meeting with the intent to lead somewhere else. So it was interesting. I've never had that experience where we're friends and it crossed the line.
Yeah. I want to thank all of you for hanging out for this long. Laura, Aaron, Nicole, Justin, Eva, and KC. Thank you. KC, thanks for producing. Please follow us on social media on Facebook. It's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. On Instagram, it's at just Princess Robin. And you can catch a new episode of Traveler's Guide on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on the free Rainier Avenue radio app or on TuneIn. Thanks for joining us. And remember, regardless of what the roadmap says, you've got to follow your own heart. Until next week, mooches!